Well, today, church, let's open the Word of God to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. This is the fourth message that I will preach in this series entitled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Godly People? Now, there's a whole other sermon series on why would bad things happen to ungodly people. There's another sermon series on why would good things happen to ungodly people. But the specific question that I'm asking and seeking to answer in this series is why do bad things happen to godly people? So far, we've looked at three principles that the Bible reveals in answer to that question. We've looked at, the invisible war principle. And in the invisible war principle, we learn that Satan makes accusations to God that the only way God can get people to serve Him, to be faithful to Him, and to honor Him is because of the good things He does for them. That if He actually takes good things away from them, that they'll curse God to His face. And through the person of Job, there was an invisible war that was taking place between God and the devil. And God was saying, no, people like Job, they love me for who I am, not for what I do for them. And even if I allow the good things to be removed from their life, even if I allow their children to die, even if I allow their finances to be taken away, even if I allow their own personal health to be removed and they enter into a prolonged period of suffering, and even if I don't even answer a single question or prayer that they pray, they'll still love me for who I am. And Satan said, you're crazy. The only reason they'll do that is because of the good things. Some of you have had bad things happen to you, and there's an invisible war that's taking place, and God said, I'm counting on you. I'm believing in you that you're going to praise me anyhow. There's another principle that we looked at called the permission principle. And in Luke chapter 22, Satan demanded permission to be able to sift Simon Peter down to the core. And to shake him so hard, to hurt him so severely, and to disillusion him so greatly that he would walk away from God. And Jesus told him he was going to do that. But Jesus also told him, you're going to return to me. And when you return to me, you're going to be better than the one who left me. And you're going to strengthen other people with the comfort that I have comforted you with. We looked at a third principle last week called the discipline principle. And sometimes God allows bad things to happen in our lives because He's disciplining us. Now, we learn that discipline is nothing to do with punishment. God does not punish His children. Punishment is something that's more of an earthly concept than an eternal concept. God took every bit of punishment that you would ever deserve or you would ever need upon Himself on the cross. And there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, when God disciplines us, the word discipline means to train. It means to develop. It means to strengthen. It means to mature into godliness. And there are times when God does things that are direct cause and effect. In other words, when we've done something unbeneficial, unprofitable, unholy, undesirable, there's an inevitable consequence that comes with it. And God is going to discipline us through that season, so we'll learn not to do that again. It's kind of like, don't put your hand on that hot stove. Why? I'll describe it for you, but the best way is to let you do it one time. And through that you'll never intentionally do that again. But sometimes God disciplines us. God chastens us as prevention. But sometimes God does it for education. But sometimes God does it because it builds anticipation in our life. In other words, sometimes we suffer so long, we suffer so harshly here on the earth, that it builds a longing for the other world. whenever we suffer, whenever we hurt, whenever we have loss, whenever we make deposits on the other side, it builds a healthy anticipation for the other life that's to come. And it's God's way of loosening our ties to this old world so that we can live saying, goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm just a passing through. Amen? Well, today we're going to look at a solid principle. I wish I could tell you that bad things don't happen to godly people, but by now you know that bad things often happen to godly people. What if it's not the invisible war issue in your life? What if it's not the permission issue? What if it's not the discipline issue? There's one that we're going to talk about today. It's called the trust principle. The trust principle. And what is it that you need to be able to trust? What is it that I need to be able to trust whenever bad things are happening in our life? It's found for us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And let me read that for you real carefully, real quickly. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Whenever a bad season begins to unfold in my life, whenever I begin to have bad things happen to me, whenever I'm not talking about, you know, you smash your finger and more than blood pours out. I'm talking about a season. I'm talking about a time of trial. I'm talking about a time of affliction that it's a bad thing after a bad thing after a bad thing. And the only thing that you can see is there's probably more bad things coming. How many of you ever got in a season like that? When I'm in a season like that, here's what discipline has taught me. Here's what the invisible war principles have taught me. Here's what the permission principles have taught me. Whenever bad things have come in life because of those other issues, they've all prepared me for the trust issue, the trust principle, and that is there is a promise for me to believe. There is a promise for me to believe every day of my life. Whenever bad things are happening in my life, the promise that I am to believe is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. What is that promise? It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Now, verse 28 tells us that there's something that we already know or something that we should know. Now, here's what I want you to think about for just a moment now. What's the worst thing going on in your life right now? What's the worst thing or things going on in your life right now? Here's something that you need to know, that God is causing it to be worked together for good. Every bad thing that ever happens in your life, every bad thing that ever happens in my life, here's the trust principle that I know that God is at work and He's going to bring any good out of that that can come out of that. Can somebody say amen? We need to be the first to get to salute the promise that God's at work in this bad situation. Now, Jeff, can you get is it lost up there? Can you get the first point up there so they can see that scripture reference? There you go. And we know that God causes, now what's that three-letter word after causes? All. All right. Now, there's something that we had to do with our children, and we have to do with our grandchildren. I'm sure you've had to do it too, is that we had to teach them what a two-letter word means. The two-letter word that we have to teach our children and grandchildren is no. What does no mean? We would always ask them, what does no mean? No means no. Then there's a follow-up question to that is, what part of no are you having a hard time understanding? All right, now, here's what God is saying to us. All means what? What part of all don't you understand? Here's the promise for us to believe. And we know that God causes some things to work together. Is that what it says? And we know that God causes most things God causes the big things. God causes the little. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So that's the promise that I salute just as quickly as I can whenever a bad thing is happening. I'm talking about a thing that's so bad, so hurtful, so detrimental, so painful, so vile that I don't see how there's anything good that can come out of this. I salute the promise God's given me. God, you said that you're at work in this. It didn't mean that it's good. I want to tell you, cancer is not good. Divorce is not good. Bankruptcy is not good. Sickness is not good. But I want to tell you, in all of these things, God is at work. Can somebody say amen? Every heartbreak you've ever had, every problem that you've got, every difficulty, every mountain, every obstacle, God is at work. Can somebody say amen? Now let's look at that verse. It says, and we know this. Now, you're not born knowing this. You have to be born again to know this. You have to learn this. You have to be taught this. And the invisible war will teach this to you. The permission principle will teach this to you. And the discipline seasons in life will teach this to you, so that there comes a time in your life when the bad things that have happened in your life, you begin to say, man, I'm learning something from this. Or, God, I didn't see how there'd be any good thing that would ever come out of this. But God, you've brought good out of this. You brought good out of my pain. You've brought good out of my unwise choices. You brought good out of my problems. You brought good out of the evil that other people had towards me. You have brought good out of these things. And so when you know that, then you salute that and say, oh God. That's why our first response when season after season, problem after problem, hurt after hurt, pain after pain, problem after problem, is, God, I got to salute a promise of yours today. God, I just got to tell you, in the flesh, in the natural, I don't see any good in this. God, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my problem, I got to confess to you, I don't see how any possible good could come out of this. But God, by the Spirit and by the truth of your word, I'm saluting the promise that you've given to me right here, that I know, no matter that, oh, I can't see it, I know that you're at work in this bad situation. Can you understand that? If you understand that, say amen. It'll help you to give a sucker punch to the devil. I mean, remember the devil, he might be the one that's asked for permission to bring this bad thing into your life. He might be the one who God sent now for a little while. You can do this to him, but no more. I take what I can get. And so he goes there. Or maybe he don't have a thing in the world to do with it, but he's going to tell you what to think about it. And so you've got to tell him what you know about it, not what it looks like to you. You've got to tell him, I know this devil. I know that my God is at work to bring good out of this situation. Now let's look at the verse a little more carefully. And we know that, what's that three-letter word after that? Oh, my goodness. I know we're not talking about the preacher bringing good out of something. We're not talking about the daddy bringing something good out of this. We're not talking about your mama bringing something good out of this. They brought good out of bad things before. We're not talking about your wife. We're not talking about the government bringing good out of bad. We're talking about God bringing good out of the bad. We're talking about Elohim, the Creator God, bringing good out of this. We're talking about El Elyon, the Most High God, bringing good out of this. We're talking about El Shaddai, the Almighty God, bringing good out of this. We're talking about Jehovah Shalom, bringing good out of this. We're talking about the King of Kings, bringing good out of this. That's what you're saluting. That's what you're knowing. Our God brings good out of bad things. That's the promise for us to believe. Let's look at that verse a little more. And we know that God, look at that next word. What's the next word? Woo, my goodness. God causes. What that means is God, Elohim, has the ability to look at a circumstance in your life, snap his fingers, blink his eye, draw his breath, speak his word, and say, good's going to come out of that. Good is ordained out of that. Satan has meant it for evil, but I've ordained it for good. God causes. I mean, He mixes. He shapes. He molds good out of bad. Amen? Oh, my goodness. He's not limited by the degree of evil that's involved in it. He's not limited by the degree of unwise, willful choices that you brought into it or I brought into it. Our God causes all things. Now look at that word after two. What's it? Work. To work. That's the word that we get synergy from. And the word synergy means to come together. All things come into this. All things over here come into this. All things over here come into this. All things over this come into this. And God causes good to come out of it. There's a positive energy that comes from this. That's why God has given His church, the bride, a common task, a common goal. Our common task and our common goal is to do the Great Commission. And when everybody does their part, it creates a synergy, a dynamic power to accomplish a given goal or task. And we know that God causes all things to work together for what? For good. Oh, there's so much that we could talk about in that. Let's think about the word good for just a moment that He uses here. The word good, is a word that means productive. It means beneficial. It means spiritually enriching. And he tells us that God will cause the bad things that come into our life to actually become beneficial to us. God will cause all the bad things into our life to actually become spiritually profitable to us. God will cause all things that come into our life to be useful for us. How many would like to turn the bad thing in your life into something useful? How many like to turn the horrible thing the devil assigned against you into something spiritually profitable? God says, I'm at work to do this. Don't limit me by your understanding of me, but you let me be me, and I'll be me in your circumstances. How does God cause all things to work together for us? Oh my goodness, God has the ability to do supernatural things in natural circumstances. So today, church, before I can move on to the next one, I got to know that if you don't know a single promise that God has made to you, you know this promise. And will you believe that whatever bad things have been in your life, or whatever bad thing is in your life, or whatever bad thing might come into your life, God is already at work in it to bring the most possible good out of it. Will you salute that promise today? That's a promise that I'm going to believe. I want to tell you, it'll sure help your problems look a whole lot differently to you if you'll believe that God's at work in it. And if it goes to a second day, you salute the second day, the third day. God, I want to thank you. There's just an incredible good that's going to come out of this. It's already been this amount of time. And Lord, I'm saluting your promise. You said I could believe it. And Lord, I believe your promise to me. All right, here it is. There's a promise for us to believe. It's the trust principle that God is at work to bring the most possible good out of every bad situation in your life or mine. Here's the second thing. It's one thing to make a promise, but then you got to have the second thing, and that is the power to achieve it. Is there any power that would allow you to achieve the fulfillment of this promise? He says, and we know that God causes all things to work together. Can somebody say amen? Well, God, Elohim, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God, the awesome. My God is awesome. He's provider. He's protector. He's healer. He's deliverer. That's the God that's able to do that. The God who stared sin in the face and did not sin. The God who stared death in the face and could not be defeated by death. The God who stared the devil in the face and defeated the devil. That's the God who's causing all things to work together for good. Well, how does he do it? You might want to jot this down in your spirit. God and his power causes all things to work together. I mean, he's omnipotent. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is unmatched. He is the all-time, undefeated, undisputed God himself. God and his power causes all things to work together for you. God and his wisdom. God and his wisdom knows how to take your bad things and make them work together. Oh my goodness, when you salute that promise, you're saluting the power of God in that promise. You're saluting the wisdom of God in that promise. But get this, God and his angels cause all things to work together. Do you know God's got holy angels all around this place right now? He's got holy angels all around your life. And God says, angel, you go make a good thing come out of that. You make a good thing come out of that. God and his power, God and his wisdom, God and his angels will cause all things to work together. But God and his people will cause all things to work together. God will use his people to accomplish his purposes. God will allow an evil person to create a bad circumstance in your life. But God will use a godly person to undo that evil. And if it's too much evil for a godly person to do, he's an angel, would you help my person over there? He'd say, power, would you help my person right there? And so that's why I have learned whenever bad things have come to my life, I'll get on my knees, I'll get on my face, and I'll just be as honest as I know to be with God and say, God, this is bigger than me. This is stronger than me. This is bigger than anybody else that I know. This is stronger than anybody else I know but you. And so by faith right now, I'm saluting the promise that you've made me that you are not going to work. You're already at work. Oh, man, that's an exciting truth to me. He's not, okay, I forgot to go work on that today. He'd say, no. God was already at work in it before it ever came to you. God causes all things to work together. That's the power for us to achieve it. Now, think about your worst problem right now. And just say, problem, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance against God and his power. God and his wisdom. God and his angels. God and his people. God all by himself. God is at work, and he's going to bring the most possible benefit out of it that there ever could be. And you know, when God does that, it's always incredible. It's always phenomenal. Let me give you a third thing right now. We see the promise that we need to believe. We see the power for us to achieve it. But let me show you something about the process that we need to perceive. There is a process that we need to perceive about how God causes all things to work together. There is a process that we need to perceive that'll help us to salute the promise when we don't see it. He says, for those whom he, and what's that next word? Foreknew. Now I want you to underline that. In your outline, there are four principles here in this process that we want to touch base on. The first one is the word foreknowledge. You can salute this promise that God is at work to bring the most possible good out of any bad situation that's ever been in your life, is in your life, or will come in your life because of the foreknowledge of God. The Bible tells us about his foreknowledge. It says that for whom he foreknew. The word foreknew is a word that simply means to know what's going to happen before it ever happens. Sometimes in our human worldview and the grid that we have over our eyes, we act or react as if, God, that must have caught you by surprise. Sometimes we make choices that we sometimes think, God, I bet you didn't see that coming. I want to tell you, there's nothing happened that God hadn't already seen. There's nothing. There is no move on the chessboard. There is no plan of the devil, his demons, or by ungodly people that God didn't see coming and God hadn't always known about. Any bad thing that's come into your life, God's already known all about it. It is his foreknowledge. There's so many passages that we could talk to you about in that, but in for example, in the book of Acts, it tells us that according to God's predetermined counsel and foreknowledge, he ordained Jesus to be delivered into the hands of wicked people. He already knew all about that. He didn't learn anything about it. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? God doesn't occur. Nothing occurs to him. He's already known it, always will know it. He's never learned a thing about you. Now that's going to begin building the foundation for a shout for you in just a moment, okay? Foreknowledge. That's the first layer in this eternal foundation of the trust principle. God's foreknowledge to know things before they ever happen leads to a second aspect of this, and that is predestination. Predestination. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now the word predestined is the word that means to limit in advance. Based on everything that God has known, and God knows everything, God set some limits to some things in the future. Do you know there are limits? There are limits to what God will allow to happen to you? And you say, well, man, it don't seem like it. I hope we're about to max that credit card out. There are limits to what God will allow into your life. And what are those limitations? If there was anything that would ever come into your life that would prevent you from ending up like Jesus, it's not coming into your life. Because what God has predestined is that you are going to be just like Jesus. You say, oh my goodness. So this trial that you're in, this trouble that you're having, this pain that you're experiencing, this difficulty that you can't make go away, God's already predetermined that it ain't going to make you not end up like Jesus. God's saying, I am at work in this, and the end result is going to be, you're going to be more like Jesus. You're going to be like Jesus. It is predetermined before the foundations of the world. God looked down in his foreknowledge and he knew that creating man with a choice was going to end up in man making the wrong choice. But God, looking down in his foreknowledge, still wanted to create man anyway. And God, looking down with his foreknowledge, knowing that man would make a wrong choice, still wanting to choose anyway, said, a part of my foreknowledge is going to cause me to have to redeem the man that I created. It's going to cause me to have to forgive the man that I've created. It's going to have cause me to have to use that to make him just like me. God's committed to that. Number three. Foreknowledge, predestination, and look at this next one, justification. Those whom God foreknew, say, I was foreknown. He predestined. Say, I'm going to end up like Jesus. And the only way I can end up like Jesus is if I've been justified. Justification is a legal, judicial, and eternal decree of God to forgive. You were forgiven before you were ever conceived in the eyes of God. God knew through His foreknowledge what would be a part of your life. You know, the devil doesn't have the foreknowledge. The devil doesn't have the omniscience. But he knows that bad things typically turn godly people away from God if they're left to themselves. And the devil knows that if I can throw enough bad things at your direction, I can probably get you to walk away from God. But God says, I'm going to let this come into his life, her life, because I'm going to work it together and they're going to end up like me anyway. And so God says, we're going to have a way that whatever the worst thing you've ever done, I'm not going to ask you to tell me what the worst thing that you've ever done is. The devil's going to tell you what it is. You know right now what it is. It's that thing that you wouldn't want anybody else to know about. But guess what? God knows about it, and he chose to love you before you ever did it. And God said, there's nothing will ever cause me to look at you any differently than being justified. Now, in a human vernacular, in a human concept, think of justification, being justified in the eyes of God, as being just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. But I did sin. When God looks at you, he can look at you justified. Just as if you'd never sinned, but you had sinned, because he's completely satisfied with what's atoned for your sin. And you know what that does for you? It'll allow you to forgive yourself for what you've done. It'll allow you to forgive yourself for what you haven't done, because God's already forgiven you. And if he can forgive you, then you can forgive you. Well, you say, preacher, I like all of that, but you know where I've been, what I've done, where I might go, and what I might do, which surely caused God in the end not to love me. Well, no, because all of these things in the eyes of God are written in past tense, as if they're already true. Look at the fourth one. Foreknowledge, predestination, justification, and here is the next one, glorification. Glorification. He says, whom he foreknew, he predestined. And those that he foreknew and predestined, he justified. And those he foreknew, predestined, and justified, he has already glorified. Whew. Oh, my goodness. That means in the eyes of God, you're already there. Where's there? Where he is. Where's there? Just like he is. Where's there? Completely redeemed. Completely set free. God has already glorified you. And what God chose to do in eternity, there's no way you can choose to undo in time. God made the decree to save, to redeem, to forgive, to heal, to protect, to deliver, and to end up like Jesus before the world began. And what God says is, you're already glorified in my eyes. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Look at what the Apostle Paul said he was convinced of. Paul says, I am, what's that next word? I'm convinced of this. He said, I'm persuaded of this. I'm absolutely sure of this right here. He said that, I want to tell you, death can't unglorify me. Life cannot unglorify me. Angels can't unglorify me. Principalities can't unglorify me. Things present nor things to come, powers or height or depth or any other what? Created thing. That pretty well summarizes it all, doesn't it? Any other created thing shall be able to separate. Now what's that two-letter word now? Us. He didn't just say me. You say, well, yeah, I can believe that about Paul. I can believe that he wouldn't do that about Paul. He's the Apostle Paul. But Paul said, us. Who's us? Those he foreknew. Those he predestined. Those he justified. That's the us. Those who he knew at time and place would hear the gospel, repent of their sin, place their faith in Jesus, be sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced of this. He says, you're never going to be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, you got to be able to love God in order for God's love to love through you. He tells us something interesting here. He says, if every single thing that comes into our life, if every single thing that comes into my life ultimately produces good, then it means that no matter what comes into my life cannot ultimately end up separating me from God. Why? Because God is at work to even bring that thing, bring good out of that thing. Now, here's what you need to do, and it's what I need to do. You need to become as convinced of that as Paul was. Paul was convinced that there was no bad thing that he'd ever done. Now, you know, he'd done some pretty horrible things. Paul killed people by the score. Paul murdered people. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul was an insurrectionist. I mean, and worse than that, in my opinion, he was a legalistic Pharisee. That's worse than the other thing. Because you murder people with your attitudes. You murder people, you know, with your mindset. You murder people with your narrowness. You murder people with your bigotry. You murder people with your prejudices when you do that. Paul said, I was all of that and then some. But the love of God overwhelmed me. God was at work, even in me, being a legalistic Pharisee, to bring the most possible good out of it. And the most possible good out of it is I've become convinced that nothing can separate me from Him. All right, here's the trust principle. I believe God wants somebody to trust the principle. I believe that God wants you to come and salute that worst thing in your life. God wants you to come and salute the biggest problem in your life and say, God, you're at work in this problem. God, you're at work in this pain. God, you're at work in this issue to bring the most possible good out of it. Now, this is for the people who love God. How do you know if you love God? You've got to love the things that God loves. God loves people. God loves forgiveness. God loves second chances. God loves restoration. God loves sinners. And God loves you. And God loves me. I want to give you a chance to respond to the bad things that's been happening in your life. The devil has been counting on you being deceived. The devil's been counting on you being bitter. The devil's been counting on you being hopeless. The devil's been counting on you giving up. But God's been saying, no, I'm bigger than that. I've allowed that to come into your life. But I've already been at work in it. And I'm using my power. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be more like Jesus than you ever would have been before. You say, oh my goodness, I'm going to be a whole lot like Jesus here in a little bit because this has been ugly. This has been bad. You know that addiction you've struggled with? God's been at work in it to deliver you from it. You know that alcohol that's been drawing you to it? God's been at work, and He's going to deliver you from that. God's better than the addiction you have to it. God wants you to get addicted to Him. And if you get addicted to Him, you'll never thirst for those other things again. God is power. God is love. And I believe there's somebody here today that the reason you got so much pain in your life, the reason you got so much addiction in your life, is because you don't know anybody that loves you. And you don't think anybody could love you if they know the worst things about you. But I'm telling you today, God loves you. And I'm telling you, God brought you here today just so you could believe this promise. Through every tear that you've ever shed, through every bit of pain you've ever felt, God's been at work in supernatural, behind-the-scenes ways to bring good out of it. And today, I believe, is going to be the breakthrough day where you turn your back on your pain and your past and you salute the promise of today and tomorrow and for all of eternity. You're going to come and you're going to say, God, by faith, I'm going to end up like Jesus. And I'm so far from that right now, but by faith, I'm going to end up like Jesus because you said I was. And God's going to release supernatural power and provision into your life.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.